Item M, trial court allocations, the criteria and process for supplemental funding. And we welcome Judge Rosenberg, David Yamasaki, and Zlatko Theodorovic. Did I say that right?
You did eventually.
Thank you. I'm going to get better and better and say it more often.
Who's the third guy?
Well, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Back on August the 25th, Judicial Council directed staff to work with trial court representatives to re-examine the criteria and process for supplemental funding. And we called together a group of six representatives from the judges group and six from court executives to really work with the experts in the field to really help us frame what we need to do in terms of providing you good process and criteria to consider any urgent needs funding. So we have Judge Rosenberg and David Yamasaki here to briefly describe their participation and what they thought of the process and how we think it was a good process to come to good recommendations.
Well, Zlatko is going to carry the laboring oar in terms of presenting the results, but I just wanted to make a brief comment on process, and I know David Yamasaki does as well. This process was really driven by judges and executive officers. We had six judges on the group, including five presiding judges. The matter was divided. We early on decided that we could divide this into two segments, one relating to what process should be employed, and secondly, what criteria should be looked at. Again, we're not dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars here. We're dealing with a relatively small amount of money in the total scheme of things, but an important sum of money for those courts that need the help. So I just wanted to assure the members of the council that judges and executives were intimately involved in the development of the proposals that you'll hear about. David?
Thank you very much, Judge. I was asked how it was that I was selected to kind of lead this group, and I said I think I missed a meeting. And so our focus, as Judge Rosenberg indicated, was to try to focus on the criteria for this body to consider the requests that come in. And the discussions that we had were very, I would say, extensive and dynamic, and gave us an opportunity to consider some facts and approaches to helping this body reach a conclusion when faced with a proposal for supplemental funding.
Yes, I appreciate those comments. What we tried to do initially was to educate the group of all the different forms that supplemental funding, deficiency funding, emergency funding, cash flow requests exist, and what we found is that there are many different ways that we can get funds to courts, and we think that led to so much of the confusion and lack of knowledge about how we can do that. And so the very first recommendation was to discontinue current two forms in terms of requesting funds and create a single format. The executive branch uses a single form to gather its various ways of getting funds. We think that it helps in training, it helps in consistency, so that all court representatives know where to go. And we think it's important that you can go to that single form and you know all the questions that you need to answer are all there in one place. So we've developed a new form, a single form for supplemental funding that encompasses both cash advances, urgent needs, as we're calling them now, which used to be a deficiency in one form and emergency funding in another. And what we realize is that we still have some work to do on these other funding, supplemental funding processes, but we didn't see that as the immediate priority, but that we will use that form and amend it to encompass any additional processes that we think are important to pursue. Third recommendation was relative to some sort of short-term issues with cash advances. Many courts that have fiscal problems, they will need cash advances on a short-term to manage cash. And so the form still allows for cash requests. What we're recommending is that the process be delegated to the Director of Finance Division to at least on a short-term basis manage and approve the cash flow process so that courts can get their bills paid we don't have issues with that. And we thought that was at least administratively it's not necessary to bring that to the full council because it's just managing normal course of business. Fourth recommendation was regarding the process of requesting supplemental funds and how it is that they can, what form do they ask for the funds. And we had quite a bit of discussion, primarily informed by the discussion that happened with the San Francisco request. And so we put it as an option for courts to ask either a one-time distribution with no repayment or a loan. We have all requests will be submitted to the council for consideration, and we will provide all of the staff work, the preliminary work we think was important that is done by staff. But what we heard loud and clear from members of the group was that it needed to be an iterative process with the requesting court. It's not an issue where we get the data, we do an analysis, and then it comes to the council. And so what you see before you in the presentation there is a process where we inform the court to make sure that our conclusions are based on a valid assessment of the data. They have an opportunity to correct if there's anything we've missed, and that they get the final report prior to its being made public so that we make sure that there is this process. We don't want any surprises. We think this is important for transparency and to make sure that we're seeing the data and coming to proper conclusions, that we haven't misinterpreted anything. And then we would expect that a representative could come to and present before the council for questions that are needed. We did think about timing of these requests because we thought it was we struggled with this issue. And I think as David had mentioned, we had quite a robust debate about a number of these issues, and this was difficult because you have a limited pot of money, and so when do you expect courts to come forward and ask for resources? And we settled on 25 days, business days, prior to a council meeting, but that effectively allows it to happen at any time in the year, and so there's concerns expressed by some that we might need to create a more rigid process in terms of timing because it might be first come, first serve. That might not really be best for the branch that the first come in and all the funds are exhausted. So I know we would probably want to discuss maybe a potential issue with that, but at this point, the recommendation coming out of the group was 25 business days prior to a council meeting. The next recommendation relates to criteria. The group, again, had a pretty strong discussion about what is the sort of baseline criteria from which a court can request deficiency or supplemental funding for urgent needs. And we landed on if they project to have a negative fund balance in the current year. That then means that courts that don't project a negative fund balance but are very close, they wouldn't be allowed to submit a request. But we understand that again, there was some debate about that as to whether or not there might be something above a zero level that could be acceptable. But again, that's a difficult decision. We haven't reviewed and revised our minimum emergency reserve policy yet. And so do we use that as a criteria if they're below the minimum? But we know that there are issues with the minimums that have come out of the GASB reporting and with the changes in the sort of with court security not being in, there's a lot of concern about what is the appropriate minimum emergency reserve to have. But we think that we weren't eliminating the ability and discretion of the council to approve something higher than to achieve a zero fund balance. Okay. Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question? So if you have a fund balance that's below the minimum, all right, which is 1, 2, or 3 months, whatever it is, but if you are below that, and you may not be able to meet your bills. I mean, is it an option receivership as opposed to request for deficiency funding?
I don't think we really got into the issue of a receivership position. Okay. It was just a matter of if you, at the time that you submit, if you are projecting a zero fund balance, a negative fund balance, then that would make you eligible to request.
Okay. But you're just saying.
But that means you could be still below the emergency level.
Okay.
Well, there have been a few courts that have run into serious financial problems in the past, and I don't think receivers have been appointed, but the AOC has assigned folks to run them for a while, correct?
Well, it's the same thing. It's not called a receiver, but it's and that process begins by the presiding judge contacting me and indicating that they have serious financial problems.
There's a government code section.
Yeah. So it happened in Placer and in Glenn, where Jody was in charge of Placer for a while to bring it back up, and Kurt Soderlund was in charge of Glenn. And those were loans, where they got loans, but they also had the receiver component to it.
Recommendation six is, I think, a sort of a key backbone to what it is that our work is. It's what we expect the court to submit to us as justification and backup information for us to evaluate their requests. There was some question about whether or not we would do some sort of management evaluation to determine if there were management decisions that put them in this position. And I think our difficulty as the numbers analysts would be to make a judgment about management decisions. But that I think that by asking the right questions regarding implementation of revenue enhancement systems, or what cost containment measures have you taken, what have you done in terms of employee compensation adjustments over the last 5 years, those would inform the council as to what they think are appropriate decisions. But in terms of an analysis of a shortfall, that's different in our minds than the how it got there. We want to inform the council as to where how they got there, but not to make a judgment about a appropriate management or mismanagement or, you know, just improper management decisions.
May I ask a question? If a court has gone through an audit process and there have been recommendations as to they are to do X, Y, Z, should that not be a part of the information as to if they have recently gone through an audit and there were recommendations as to correct certain issues, should that not be a part of things that we should take into consideration?
Yeah, I think that – I don't know if there's any objection from – I think that's a very valid point. Yeah, absolutely.
And if I can just speak to this particular recommendation, one of the thoughts was for the staff at the AOC to rate or to recommend whether a particular request meets a certain threshold. And our concern was not to put that responsibility on the AOC staff. I think it would be better suited for this body to have the information and make the call. And our goal was to simply provide all of the details necessary for that conclusion to be reached.
The struggle was maintaining a consistent approach in evaluation. And when you start in introducing some level of judgment and sort of rating, you can be criticized. And so we think from being numbers people, we want to focus on the numbers, but also bring the circumstances forward in terms of information. So there are questions like we said, what have you done managing your fund balances? What has been your approach? There's just a number of pieces of fiscal data and operational data that you can help determine from the council's perspective what was a management issue. But we're looking at it in terms of are the numbers pointing and are the expenditures in the direction that would support a need for supplemental funding.
So that goes to your point yesterday, Fritz, about what if a court has mismanaged itself? You would make that judgment rather than staff based on the data that.
But we would bring.
I'm not a voting member. I'm only an advisor.
Well, but might speak up. You might make a motion.
But I think one of the criteria is I don't think you're making a judgment call by having.
Right.
If there were any corrective actions, say they had an audit in the last 2 years, what if anything had been done?
That's an excellent point. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to fiscal.
Yes.
As opposed to other operational issues.
Yeah. Exactly.
Judge Wesley.
Would there be any thing on the criteria that you would get back information as to whether or not a court has received supplemental funding from the administrative office of the courts on other occasions and how it was used? Well, you should have that.
Yeah, I think we would. I think we would ask that. I mean, if we want to be very specific, we can identify that as a specific data request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're open to any. I mean, we worked to give you as much of a framework we thought was close enough, but we're certainly, you know, we want to make sure this is a process that meets your needs.
Kim Turner?
I was going to wait until Zlatko was done with his report, but I do want to go back, if we can, to recommendation 4, because it's the one that gave me, I think, the greatest concern in that, as Zlatko alluded to, the way the process is spelled out right now, any court can apply 25 business days prior to any council meeting, which I think might set up a process whereby courts that have done their fiscal review early in the year, identify that they may have a problem in 6 or 9 months, would come to the council, say in October of the year, request funding, where a court that had not yet gone through that process of identifying needs might find themselves just out of luck later on in the year because all the money had previously been allocated. So one of the things that I've had a few conversations with Zlatko about this, one of the things that I was thinking is that we should have perhaps a hard deadline, and I'm not married to what that would be, but a deadline each year by which all courts that want to seek supplemental funding could come to the court, could come to the council, and AOC staff can go through the analysis on any number of courts that may want to, you know, make requests under for some of the $9.8 million, so that when the council is looking at the requests, they're first of all being able to compare, you know, the request of Court A against B, C, D, and E. I think it's a richer analysis at that point. But also to make sure that there are no courts that are left high and dry just because they didn't get in line first. That's a concern that I have. And so one of the things I was thinking is that if we had a deadline of, you know, courts know their budgets typically by September. If by September 30th you think you might have a problem, notify the AOC by the end of September. It will be on the October, you know, end of October Judicial Council agenda, if that provides enough time to staff to do the analysis. And then all the courts would be considered at one time. Obviously, that deadline is passed for this year, so maybe this year we would move that deadline out to end of December or something. But the idea that we try to put a little more of a rigid framework around it just so that everyone has an opportunity to compete for these funds.
And 2 points. Just number one is that in the PowerPoint, where there were discussion items that didn't come to an absolute agreement, that's what we've put before you, where there was consensus and agreement, those were just presented here, and that's why we made a point about putting an alternative and bringing the discussion forward. So we're trying to make sure that you're informed about our internal conversation, because we thought it was important. We didn't just bring the final conclusion. We wanted to bring a little flavor of the discussion. But as far as the rigidity, one option I had offered to Kim was maybe you divide the funds into, say, 75% in the first part of the fiscal year and then 25% at the end of the fiscal year, so that in the event something absolutely unknown happens in the second half of the fiscal year, you have some ability to address those. But there are ways to work through that.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I also like that suggestion, because there may be an unanticipated need that a court could not have predicted by a rigid deadline in the fall that comes up, you know, in March. And so we'd want to have some ability to allocate money to a needy court at that point without saying you missed the boat for this year, mm-hmm. See you next year. So I think to just create a little more structure around the process would be helpful.
Thank you. Judge Baker, you want to go ahead?
That's the very suggestion I was going to make. What we're talking about here is triaging the degree of need among the courts, because we have a finite fund here. And I think that's a good idea to divide the fund into a semiannual or quarterly analysis.
Justice Hull, then Judge O'Malley.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Theodorich just spoke to the issue that I was worried about, that there can be emergency situations that we'd have to build into the system to be able to respond to, even if we had a so-called deadline at some point during the year. Thank you.
I had some questions about the cash advances. So, and that's mentioned at the end of our materials in the recommendation 4. And so the question is there going to be any limit or cap to a cash advance that would be given, and you have it by the director of finance and within 5 days? So, I mean, how big could a cash advance be?
I would defer to Stephen to give us some history in terms of what the scope of dollars have been, and do we have internal limits on on cash advances?
This past year, this current year, there's only been one court that's requested cash advance. And in previous years, there haven't been that many.
But there's going to be more. So I just want to be sure that we're ready for the future. And somebody's not going to say, I need $1 million cash advance. And then that's approved. But then maybe this committee would not have given $1 million to that court via the cash advance. So I'm not really clear on the criteria for your cash advance.
Right. The maximum amount of money that would be made available to court would be its trial court trust fund allocation. It's money that is due to the court, but it's given to it 1/12 each month. So that would be the maximum limit from the trial court trust fund. And the other limitation would be the actual cash available for us to provide to the court in the trial court trust fund, because the state controller's office, they transfer general fund. They don't transfer it all at once at the beginning of the year. They also transfer it in pieces. And so it also will depend on the amount of cash available to provide to the courts. So the maximum, to answer your question, the maximum would be their allocation, the remaining allocation that would be due to any particular court.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Kim, you raised an interesting point, but I just think of something. In San Francisco, we loaned them $2.5 million, and mm-hmm. they have paid over 5 years. So let's assume they pay back $500,000 in year two. That goes back into the fund.
Into the fund, yeah.
So if you're making loans all the time, then mm-hmm. you're replenishing it, so you don't –
Yeah.
It's not like you draw down $9.8 million. You might have more money because of replenishment.
Yeah, and we had a good discussion about the loan issue, and we, in the submittal, in the materials there, we require the court to explain why a loan is not a viable option
for them. It may or may not be.
So as opposed to us making a determination, we actually have put the onus on the requester saying we sort of default to a loan unless there's reason to suggest that they would provide that it isn't a loan. So we would think that as budgets are healthier in the future, that they would be able to replenish the fund and we would have resources available to.
So if we drew down $9 million on day one, we may have a couple million dollars coming in over the year.
And I think we would have to analyze, you know, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, okay. when we were expecting payments, that number would – so the available dollars would be adjusted okay. based on the repayment.
And I just wanted to say that Zlatko hasn't gotten to the slide yet, but when I read ahead – under recommendation number 9, it's the carry forward of unspent prior year urgent need money. So presumably that repayment money would go back into that fund. And mm-hmm. so it could be that in a few years we'll have more than $9.8 million because we'll be receiving repayment from some courts of funds that were previously loaned. Mm-hmm. So those funds, I would guess, would then be available to be loaned to other courts if the needs should arise.
I don't know if that's true.
I think it goes. I don't think it goes back because, as I recall, since 2000, we've had like $130 million in that account, and we've only used $6 million for the courts, and the other has been spent because you have the authority, right? You have the authority to use that for other projects after a certain time.
That's right. I think we would assume a loan would go back into the trial court improvement fund. The amount of the urgent need amount is based on the formula of 1/2 of 1% of the funds in the trial court trust fund. So that is an amount that comes out, is identified within the trial court improvement fund. So it doesn't necessarily that 1/2 of 1% is what it is, and for each year, and then at the beginning.
I'm wrong, and I wouldn't replenish. We'd go to the
fund balance.
Yeah.
We'd go to the fund balance. And I don't want to skip ahead, but one of our recommendations for you to direct us to do is to look at the funds and where funds are available in fund balances. That was an important question raised during the discussion about what are our fund balances, what are they available for, and to what extent could they be used in a dire emergency where we have so many courts, we have insufficient improvement funds set aside? Would there be any ability to use any of the other fund balances? So I think that was part of the discussion, is how do we sort of get our hands around the resources that the branch has to deal with emergencies in the current year?
Thank you. Sue?
Well, my question is this one of the funds that can roll over year to year, or is this one of the funds, it can roll over.
It rolls over.
So you don't have to spend it that year. You
no.
can keep
right.
it. Okay.
The fund balance can accrue. It does accrue.
My question has to do with the criteria. I think it's recommendation 6. So the recommendation by itself says approve criteria, but there's no list of criteria in the recommendation. There's some things on the form, and there's some things in the rationale. What criteria are we approving? Because to me, that's the whole critical thing. What are we going to ask the courts to tell us when they ask for money?
Oh, there's a list in the report.
But it's described as being the rationale. That's what I'm asking about. Is that intended to be
the
part of the recommendation?
The pieces of information that we're going to be gathering from this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let
me interrupt you. I'm sorry, Judge Rosenberg. Edith.
I'd like to echo Kim's comments in terms of the timing for bringing these before the council, because to be asked to approve these requests on an individual court basis without having some idea of what other courts are facing, I think puts us in the position of having something that happens that turns out in the long run to be very unfair. I will admit I had a horrible flashback to Queen for a Day. Some of you are perhaps old enough to remember that horrible TV show. But there's a certain element of that to this, which is that it is a limited fund, and it's quite unfair where we have a situation where one court happens to have gotten their request in earlier, ahead of the game, and so money is allocated there when it turns out that there's an even greater need that we're unaware of in another court. So I certainly agree with Justice Hall and Ms. Turner on the issue of we have to make certain that we keep some holdback for something that is unexpected later in the year. But I would certainly like to see a situation where these requests come at the same time, so it isn't just the first one at the trough that gets everything.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean it requires an amendment to the recommendation number four?
Well, I think the best suggestion I've heard so far, frankly, is that they do all come in at one time, and say three-quarters of the money is dealt with at one time, but a quarter of the money is reserved because, you know, things happen. Unforeseen things happen later in time, so you have to have some measure of reserve. But if I could address the criteria issue, that's a fair question. And I think what this proposal provides is, a process, and then a set of pieces of information which are provided to the council to make those decisions in as fair a way as possible. But ultimately, it does become a subjective determination of the council based on these objective pieces of information. We're not going to hold up scorecards saying 6.8. Yeah. You know,
it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Why not?
Determination of that number might just be subject to further recommendation by staff. If you look at the recommendation number 8, it seems to me to suggest that there might be some more revisions to this policy. So, I'm not – whatever motion we make on this agenda item, it seems like if the motion were to accept the recommendation, which is 11 – which includes 11 parts, it's broad enough to in my mind, direct staff to make further recommendations as to what that amount, what that division might be, whether it's 75% or 50%, and whether it's quarterly or semi-annual.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Kim?
And I just want to echo what Edith said. I think there is some value into having requests all come in at one time so that they can be compared to each other, because I think that's – otherwise, in isolation, every request looks very meritorious, and I'm sure all the requests will be meritorious, but they need to be looked at kind of in the fullness of what's the whole range of requests that we're getting, and get them all at one time.
Yeah.
Mark.
The only thing I had with this was Judge Rosenberg talked about criteria, which makes sense to have some true criteria that you're going to use to make this evaluation. The word rationale, is a little fuzzy for me. I mean, if it really is criteria, why don't we call it criteria?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about on page 8.
Page 8, 9.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything italicized down is the data we're going to be asking for, and from that we'll be evaluating it. If there are no more questions, I can move on to recommendation number 7. That relates to terms and conditions that we would have the courts accept regarding their receiving of the supplemental funding, including, as we mentioned, repayment with or without interest. This was an important issue on the next bullet, was the development of a remediation plan, because there was great concern that if we don't have a sense as to what their workout plan for the budget year is, that they would just be here again the subsequent fiscal year asking for supplemental funding again. And so what we want to be able to present to the council is, okay, there's, if we concur and there's a need, what is the sense that the council has of the court's plan to deal with it going forward, so that we're not in a cycle of them continually requesting, again, reporting on how the funds are used, any restrictions on how the funding can be used, and do we go to the point of having a signed agreement, sort of solidifying the terms and conditions of the approval. Recommendation 8 is just to sort of more making sure that we have consistent guidelines and reflected in our existing policies regarding the improvement fund usage, and if there are any technical updating to the rules of court. We just want to make sure that we finish that process up and we make it tidy so that there aren't any loose strings. So 5 years from now we say, well, we didn't update that particular document and there are inconsistencies. We want to make sure that that's tight. Recommendation 9 related to carrying forward unspent monies for the urgent needs. That in that discussion, it was that it would be a supplement to the calculated amount for that particular fiscal year. Again, that was an issue of providing additional resources to the extent they're not fully allocated in one fiscal year to the next. Again, we in recommendation number 9, number 10, we identified several other funding requests, methods, and what we need to do is just clean those up and come back to you at a subsequent council meeting to make sure that they're folded into this process. But the one of them in particular is related to IT and allocations for IT costs. We just need to make sure that they're all in one place so that the courts know how to ask for funds. And then finally, recommendation number 11, relates to what other funds beyond the improvement fund might be available to deal with urgent needs. It was important, I think, by the members of the group that they had a better understanding of what funds and fund balances are available in a current year to address it. So whether or not we would expand the pool of resources available to meet urgent needs beyond just the improvement fund. And so we wanted to get your direction to report back at the February meeting on that particular issue. And so with that, that's the presentation.
Sue.
I had another question back on the rationale and on number 6. Because it appears to me that the criteria is that your balance is going to be below zero.
That's your fundamental baseline. Yeah.
Right. So to me, these things are information that the court would use to decide that you have that criteria and whether supplemental funds are going to be given. But these are not criteria to me.
They're supporting detail to the request to demonstrate that you've met, that your projection is correct.
Okay. Because I'm with Mark that it says when approved criteria, and then the list under rationale to me is not the criteria. It's the information to support the criteria. But the only criteria is that you're going to have a zero balance.
Your point is well taken. The baseline criteria is you are projected to go below zero. And these are the pieces of information that must be supplied so you can provide, I don't want to use the term proof, but
yeah. –
To support
your position.
To support it, right.
Can we be clear then?
Alan.
That's why I was asking before about what are you really talking about that list. Two things are going on here. One is we're putting the notice out to the courts that these are the things we're going to look at, So obviously, if you want to come and request, you got to figure out what you're doing about those items, either what you did do and maybe shouldn't have done, or what you can do to avoid things. So it's kind of a hint on some levels about what's going to be important. But implicit in that is what I think what both you and Mark are saying is we're listing these items and saying, implying, for example, that if you didn't do one of these things or if it doesn't look good on one of these things, we might not give you money. And that's the part I think we're, frankly, not willing to just lay right out on the table. Yeah, I mean, we're going to tell some court, you gave all your money to your unions in your last set of negotiations. Why should we be sympathetic to you? Nobody's willing to say that out loud.
You just did.
But it, yeah. But it's going to be in the decision we have to make when the council.
Yeah,
and I'm like, Fritz, I don't have a vote.
Neither do I.
But that's criteria that we definitely want to learn and know about.
Well, you want the information of what they did in their union agreements. The criteria is, am I going to say you gave out too much, so I'm not going to give you more money now?
Well, then we should specify it, just because it's a little confusing. It says rationale for recommendation, and then all these points versus if this is the criteria, we should say this is it.
We do need to clarify the terms.
Sure.
Yeah.
The baseline criteria, if you will, is
zero,
a zero balance or below zero balance. These items are supporting documentation and information that have to be supplied so that the council can make an informed decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think. It shouldn't be called criteria.
The words need to be changed.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
So what are we calling it? We're calling it factors?
Supporting documentation. Yes,
supporting documentation.
Supporting. And if I can make one other suggestion under six is going back to my original point in terms of if in the last 2 years you've gone through an audit and could we put that in there?
Yes.
What things have you done in terms of the fiscal or financial aspect of the audit that you've tried to correct? And that deals with Fritz's concern.
So does it have to be taken as a motion?
Yeah.
I guess.
Is a motion in order, Chief?
I believe a motion's in order and potential amendments to the motion pertaining to each recommendation. So it might be easier to instead of take all 11, take them one at a time. I know that might be a little more time consuming, but it might be clearer for amendments that need to be made to some of the recommendations.
Okay.
So I'm going to take that as a request for a motion for a regarding recommendation numbers
1, 2, and 3, the chief had no modification. So
is that your motion?
That's my motion.
Second by Judge So. All in. Any further discussion on items 1, 2, and 3? Recommendations found on page 2. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes to items 1, 2, and 3. Okay, now. I'll call rationale. Well, we'll call recommendation number 4.
Can you put 4 up there?
4 is found on page 6. Supplemental funding for urgent needs
and
request
when?
And approval process.
The same timing that Kim suggested,
so
by the end of September.
The
and then,
could I make a motion on that? I would move that all requests that we approve recommendation number 4 with the following modification, that all requests be submitted by September 30 of each year, and that three-quarters of the funds available be available at that point in time, and that one-quarter of the funds be reserved for subsequent requests that are present unforeseen circumstances.
I don't think. Well, the problem with by, that means you have up until September. So that could be, that's the issue that we're frightened of having everyone coming in June, July, and August. So don't we want one definite date?
Yeah, September 30th.
On.
Versus by, because then people would think they can do it in June, July, whatever.
I accept that friendly amendment.
Okay.
And I would just suggest since there have been times that budgets had just been passed in September or hadn't been passed, and so there should be a mechanism for exceptions where there's a late budget or some other circumstances where a court doesn't know what they're going to have.
Can I make a – if your idea is the end of September with an idea of a July 1st budget, then how about 90 days after the budget's passed?
So
I would accept that as a friendly amendment.
So does that friendly amendment now read all requests be submitted
by
with
on
the 90th day after the budget passes?
Yeah.
On the 90th day after the state budget is signed?
Signed.
Chief, can I ask a question? Do we want to limit ourselves? I know I think we should leave something because, you know, maybe there's a Kerry Stainer case and there's a change of venue and someone pulls a time waiver and, you know, there's this unanticipated need. But I'm just concerned if we're flooded with legitimate requests, are we hamstringing ourselves by saying 75%? I see the wisdom in having some defined amount, but I also see that it could be – it could hamstring us.
I think what we would do is we would want to return to you, and maybe we stick with the 75 now, but then we have the discussion about whether or not there's any other funds, and that in the event that there is this flood and we believe that there's some opportunity to use any of the other fund balances, we can have that conversation, I think, in February when we've done a fuller analysis of the funds that are available and whether or not there's anything to supplement that, and then I think we could possibly revisit that number and provide some flexibility in terms of if there's an overwhelming request that fully exhausts it, we might need to address those, but then we might have to then think about dipping into some other funds in the event there's other catastrophes later in the fiscal year.
Kim.
So I was going to suggest that, you know, the 75-25 split, presumably, Zlatko, if we got to the, you know, closer to the end of the year and there were no other requests, say after March 31st or April 30th, some date that we have to determine, that the remaining 25% could then be allocated to those courts that had requests in the previous fall if, in fact, we weren't able to fully fund the requests that they had. So if I request $1,000 and you only give me $750 in the fall, I may get that $250 later in the year if, in fact, there are no other requests that would, you know, supersede it. Is that
suggestion?
Is that a possibility instead of it going back into the fund?
Yes. Judge Pines and then Judge D'Alba.
The more I listen to this, the more complicated it seems.
It is.
I'm just trying to think through the process here. Judge Rosenberg, did the presiding judges have an opportunity to review this proposal here?
All the presiding judges? No, but there were presiding judges on the group that worked through these proposals.
A number of them?
Yes. The leadership of the presiding judges.
Attachment E of the report shows all the participants.
Just because I realize this is a fairly significant measure that we're adopting here, and we just got this as part of our package the last few days.
The leadership of the presiding judges were all involved in this.
I know one of the recommendations is to report back if there should be any changes. Let me ask this. Were there any comments that we should be concerned about from the presiding judges as to this proposal?
You know, problems? The effort was to strike a fair balance in terms of process and also in terms of so-called criteria. You know, you don't want to present criteria or requirements on courts that are too onerous, but I think the information sought is fair information and information that the Judicial Council ought to have.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I understand we have to act fairly promptly because we're going to be facing the San Joaquin request in December. And
that's why we moved.
We needed to move. Perhaps there should be some consideration to revisiting these guidelines if there's sufficient outcry or concern. Later recommendation. That's something we should consider. I just want to get an idea of process because
that's a fair
this
comment.
Is a fairly significant
I'll do my best to handle the outcry.
Yeah, okay. You'll handle that.
So this is what my notes reflect of the friendly amendments. All requests be submitted to the AOC on the 90th day after the state budget is signed by the governor. 75% of these funds will be available. 25% of the funds will be reserved. I have to the end of the year. But then, and that's all I have thus far in terms of the friendly amendments. Judge D'Alba.
Chief, thank you. My comment just goes on that allocation portion of the amendment, the 75-25 discussion. Mm-hmm. My understanding of the statute, Government Code Section 77-209, that talks about how this money is reserved, right, says expressly that one half of the fund will remain unallocated prior to March 15 of every year unless various criteria of unanticipated critical financial obligations are determined. So I would submit that the construction of the statute suggests that the entirety of the fund would be available if that criteria is met, and that I'm not sure we would have the authority to say different.
I think we're speaking to when it is expended, not that it's reserved for some other purpose. It still would be available for urgent needs during that period up to March 15th. It's just a matter of when we decide to allocate those resources. We can choose as far as the process as to how we can do it. It still would be available only for urgent needs until March 15th, and then it can be used for other non-urgent needs. The caveat, as I understand, is that it can only be used for urgent needs up until March 15th, and if it's not used for that, then it can be used for some other purpose. But how we spend it up until March 15th is our discretion.
Sue.
Well, one of my things was when you were saying till the end of the year or something, I was thinking March 15th might be the deadline for the second request kind mm-hmm. of thing, unless there's something between March 15th and July 30th, like Nevada's computer system or something. And the other was I would want to say commencing with the next fiscal year, and do we want to make a deadline for people that want to make it for this year? Because September 30th is already passed, or 90 days from the budget's already passed for mm-hmm. this fiscal year.
But first, let me take this. Do you accept the friendly amendment, Judge Rosenberg, to instead of saying to the end of the year to be March 15?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. In recommendation 4, as it currently reads, it also provides that the requests are to be submitted at least 25 business days prior to the council meeting. I don't know if all requests are going to be received on the 90th day. Do we need to set at what council meeting they would be addressed? Is 25 business days going to be sufficient?
Well, that's what we thought we would need in terms of staff time to be able to evaluate the requests.
Evaluate all of them or one?
We would do them all. We would anticipate that. We were expecting that they would come around the same time, but the concern was that there would be an early need and a late need, but generally around the same time, because when they need to know if they have 6 months to adjust their expenditure patterns, they're going to be asking in the fall. So we were expecting that we would be getting through them at this time of the year anyways.
The motion is okay, except Commissioner Alexander raises a good point for this year. Leaving the motion as is, I think we have to add the caveat that for 2011, the deadline for submission would be, and what's 25 days before our December meeting, whatever that is.
Thanksgiving.
It's kind of close.
It's kind of close. But.
So I just have a suggestion. Rather than saying that they have to submit them all on one day, why can't it just be that they submit them during that 90-day period, and then we consider them at the next council
after that,
25 days after that. And so they can submit it any time they want during that time period. It just doesn't – I mean, if they submitted it one day before, does that mean we wouldn't consider it?
But the decision would be all at the same time.
Yeah, and it would be – so it would be
– no later than instead of on.
Yeah, yeah, and then it would be at the next council meeting that's 25 days after.
And I think it was because they used the current process that there was a time frame that at the point at which you received it, when we had to have a decision on it. And so I think they were sensitive to they do it early, they have to wait a long time. But I think we'll make it clear, you may have your analysis done. We can get through your work, but you will have to wait until the appropriate council meeting.
So if I can just complete that thought, for this year, for 2011, I think we have to have a different deadline, not later than. And what, Zlatko, what would be the appropriate not later than, since our meeting is December, what, 13?
Well, I don't know if courts would be able to pull together. I mean, we've in this time. So, yeah.
Okay.
What's Which that? Is?
Do you know the dates?
Is it the 16th?
The dates of the February
meeting.
Would
you say no later than 25 business days before the February meeting?
Yeah.
There's also a January meeting scheduled on the one day January.
There is a one day January meeting.
Just
a call.
Well, Chief, thank you. I wonder on this point, it would appear to me at least to be the case that really the only request that we're going to get, and I may be wrong, is going to be from San Joaquin County. They're still here in the council room. Do we not just set a schedule for them to make their request?
Yeah. For the we were going to have theirs evaluated for the December meeting.
Well, but if we're going to set a time period, then for other periods are.
And King's Court has also contacted us about a need for funds.
And are we changing the rules in midstream? I mean, do they need their money? If we were to say we're not going to make any decisions until 60 days out and then at the next council meeting after that, is that going to impact San Joaquin?
No.
And I think I'm getting up over your shoulder. I can see a nod.
My back is turned and I can see the nod.
That's right.
Is because we need to plan for it. You know, we have this campus that not going to take money. We have a whole 40 more people in the playoffs. So
maybe for this year we ought to just not have that limitation.
I think we have to allow any court to submit for the December meeting if they wish to.
It doesn't give them very much time.
So my concern is that if we act today and if we set a deadline of, say, November 15th, will that allow other courts sufficient time to do the analysis, to make the request, to give Zlatko's team time to do the evaluation in time for the December meeting? So my question is, and perhaps I haven't seen the nods because I haven't been looking in that direction, since we are having a January meeting instead of just a February meeting, is it possible to provide a cash advance to San Joaquin until such time as we're able to hear all the requests in January?
And they've been getting them. They've been getting cash advances already, so.
Okay, so we're already at the point where that is not a viable.
It's not a way
to the next.
But they're only they're asking for $2 million, and there's more than that in the fund right now, isn't
there? Of course.
Yeah. So even if they got what they were requesting, if other courts came to the table late, there'd still be money in there unless it's spent.
Judge Yu. I think this is a transition year, and I think we have more than three motions now floating. And that the deadlines that we should talk about are prospective, and that in terms of what's going to happen this year, I think we should just let the courts come when they come, because that's what we had done for San Francisco, and to sort of make people apply, have rules apply to them while we're in the transition year doesn't seem as fair.
Chief, if I may ask, so from a criterion evaluation perspective, we do that. But in terms of timing, that's what we aren't. We're saying they can come in any time, but we are going to evaluate them in the same manner as presented in the report.
Yes. So here's the friendly amendment that doesn't contain the exception for fiscal year 11-12, because we're going to be silent on fiscal year 11-12. So it's all requests be submitted to the AOC no later than the 90th day after the state budget is signed by the governor. 75% of these funds will be available. 25% of the funds will be reserved to March 15.
I second.
That's your amendment, Judge Rosenberg.
That's my motion, and I accept all those friendly amendments. The only issue is that we understand that will not apply in this transitional year.
Correct.
That this is prospective rules that will have to happen later in time next year. But with that understanding, that is the motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing no hands raised, all in favor of recommendation number 4 as amended?
Aye.
Any opposed? Recommendation 4 passes.
We've only got eight more to go.
I know. You're the secretary to the council.
No,
that's going to take time. Grab a pen. This is now recommendation
number. I have one for number 5. If
okay.
It's okay.
Yes.
So I listening to Judge Rosenberg, are what we, and I'll just ask this question: Are you really saying approve that the criteria be that a court is projecting a negative fund balance, i.e., going in the red? That should be that what we want is an approval of the criteria, which is a court is projecting a negative fund balance.
Yes.
And then number 6 would be approve information that must be submitted to the council or to the AOC. But basically, those would be my amendments to 5 and 6.
Okay. I'd second that motion.
You do second that?
Yeah.
If it's a motion, I'll make a motion, and he said he's seconding.
Okay.
With the audit information included in
the audit information in 6 would be my friendly.
Okay, so we'll take one at a time.
Okay.
Recommendation number 5, as amended, approve criteria that the court is projecting a zero balance.
Or negative. Negative fund balance. Yeah. Or zero fund
balance. Zero balance. Can apply for urgent needs funding. Mm-hmm. Regarding recommendation 5, any further discussion?
Well, I just have a question. It really winds up as just a criterion, if that's all it is.
Yes.
On the one hand, I think it's important that we retain maximum flexibility, particularly at this early stage, till we get some experience in this area. The other option would be to defining some kind of criteria, as we often see as judges when we have to make certain findings. In other words, that we find there are exceptional circumstances here, or that there would be, we find there are significant adverse consequences to the public if this isn't allowed, and it outweighs anything else. I'm just, this is off the top of my head, asking whether we should really have criteria or just leave it open-ended like this and just consider the various factors that have been raised in number 6. I don't mean to complicate things here, but it just doesn't sound like we've got a lot of criteria when we make the decision if all you're looking at is a negative balance.
Judge Rosenberg?
That's a pretty significant criteria.
Criteria.
That's a good baseline, simple, bright line criteria that I think we can live with.
I mean, it gives us a lot of flexibility.
Absolutely.
As you said earlier, the decision eventually becomes quite subjective.
At that point, it becomes subjective, and it becomes a weighing process. There may be 10 courts that come in at that point, and there'll be some weighing, and maybe we are not able to distribute as much money as each court would like. We're limited by the money available.
Okay.
I only submitted my criteria based on what your committee came up with, but
right. But
if you want to make it more flexible, I think that is that what you're saying? Or
I'm fine with the way you.
You are happy with it.
Just leave it that way. It gives us the most flexibility. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Any further discussion? See no hands raised. All in favor of recommendation number 5 as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Matter passes. Now, number 6, recommendation number 6 had 2 amendments. Mm-hmm. That was, I understand, recommendation 6 is now to read, approve information that will be used by the council to evaluate requests for urgent needs funding as described in the rationale. And then Judge Jackson indicated that the friendly amendment to Mark Robinson's motion would be include audit.
In the last 2 years, if there had been an audit.
Include audit history of last 2 years?
Or
I would say the most recent audit.
The most recent audit? Okay, that's fine. And And what steps they have done?
As part of the criteria. Correct. As part of the information they're submitting.
Yeah.
Right. They submit including the most recent audit, if there was such an audit.
And any kind of
remediation.
Okay, I'll put that under financial information.
Yes.
include most recent audit and remediation measures.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there was a motion and a second already, and as
correct. There was a motion and second. Robinson moved, Rosenberg second.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Any further discussion on recommendation number 6 as amended? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter passes.
Chief, I would move to accept the recommendation 7 through 11.
Second.
Second by Justice Hull and Justice Miller. Any further discussion?
I just have a quick question on number 9. We're changing our urgent need request policy for the indefinite future. Why is it on 9 that we're limiting that to the 2011-2012 fiscal year and the 2012-2013, as opposed to just providing for rollover on an annual basis?
I don't think we were wed to the fiscal year. It's just how it was presented, so... We don't have a particular rationale as to why we put the single fiscal year.
So should that language be modified to just indicate that we
any
were
unspent
over from year to year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it may be that, as an optimist, times may improve. I think that we should now consider the rollover as it is recommended. In 9, we can look at it again at the end of the fiscal years listed, but I think it to require a rollover indefinitely in the future could create a problem of a ever increasing fund where we shouldn't do that. So if we limit it to these years, where I think it's,
yeah.
I'm not optimistic enough to think we're going to be completely out of the water by this point, but it could happen sometime in the future.
We had that exact discussion, but it was we would at some point if the fund balance grew, we would then come back and say we need to remove the restriction, but we don't have any issues.
Judge Baker. Yeah.
So historically, it has not included a rollover.
No.
No.
Not for this specific purpose.
That makes sense. We would just do it this year.
Yeah, let's just leave it as a...
So leave it as is. No friendly amendment is being made. Right. Any further discussion?
Well, yeah, So can we put a time limit then if we're going to just have it roll over those, I think, 2 out years? Can we say in number 10 that we'd have a report back at the end of that last rollover year so that we can then decide what to do?
You Perfect. Can tell us to do whatever you'd like.
Okay. Can I add that to
Don't recommendation push it up. Number 10?
Yeah.
And the friendly amendment to number 10 is that AOC report back.
Whenever that left.
At the end of the rollover period.
Yeah. What is that? What year?
12-13.
AOC report back at the end of.
Don't you want it for 9, though? Because
12-13.
Before then, on other.
On. Results of
the 75-25
fund balance
that report
and expenditures.
Aid report back on the report back.
Yeah.
Aid report.
Okay.
We couldn't direct it.
Yeah, but don't we want to report
with back? With that friendly amendment taken, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Matters pass.
Piece of cake.
Chief.
Yes, David.
If I could just say the discussion that we had this afternoon was not different from the dialogue that we had in this group and in our respective groups. And Zlatko and his team had to sift through all of the dialogue and gave us a lot of information to try to drill down to. So, and they did it in a very short period of time. So I really want to thank that him and his team for getting this information together. It was very difficult in a short period of time. So nice job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Rosenberg, David Yamasaki, Zlatko Theodorovich, and also Stephen Chang. Thank you.
It was nice to see parliamentary procedure working so well.
Wait, one moment, Edith.
Perhaps I missed something, but I think we didn't make a final decision on this year on when requests needed to be made. So I think for the clarity for the courts that we need to have some – direction as to what happens for the remainder of this year.
Our we did say at one point that we would not speak to the issue, sort of our what I call, instead of legislative intent, judicial counsel intent. But I'll have the members speak to that. Judge Yu.
So I was the one that suggested that we allow it to be open during this transition year. I think that most courts are listening with interest to this discussion, and it's going to behoove them to move quickly if they need to. But my concern was if we did put a deadline out there, which hadn't applied to one recipient of funds already, that, you know, San Joaquin is here. It might, if we had a deadline, they might be shrugged down farther down the road. And I just think during this transition year, we should be as flexible and as accommodating to the courts as we can be.
Okay, so none.
Well, yes. Could I just add one caveat to that? There is one minor criteria, and that is if there are requests coming in, they need to come in 25 days before a council meeting. So that creates, you know, there's a council meeting in December. There's another one when in January.
Yeah, with their information.
So that's sort of an implicit deadline if when you want to be heard 25 days before the meeting, minimum.
Thank you. Alan.
We have a SEAC meeting on November 9th. This is on the agenda. We will make it real clear to them. Yes. Now's the time to do
Thank
that.
You. Okay. Item N, special funds allocation.